Hello, and welcome to another episode of Dr. and Me podcast show. My name is Kristan, and I am your host. Today, I have with me Dr. Rand Spongberg. He is the veterinarian and owner at All Creatures Care Cottage Veterinary Hospital. His website is allcreaturescarecottage.com. I am so happy to have you here today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Spongberg.
Thank you. Very happy to be here.
Wonderful. Let's dive right in and tell me a little bit about what got you into veterinary medicine.
Sure. So the easy answer is that I've always had a deep, deep passion for animals. I love cats, dogs, and every other creature that's out there. And, you know, that started at a very young age, growing up with lots of pets. And as I got older, that kind of evolved into not only wanting to help animals, but also help people as well. You know, obviously there's a really strong bond between humans and their pet companions. And, you know, when you see your little companion suffering, or if there's a problem, you know, it can really affect the person also. So, you know, I found by getting to help the animal, I also got to help the human owners, and that was a, you know, real big thing for me.
Absolutely. That sounds really interesting. Did you want to tell me a little bit about your companions that have come to you with maybe itchy skin, why maybe their skin is red? Tell me a little bit about dermatology as it pertains to, you know, what you do.
Sure. So skin problems are one of the most common things I see on a daily basis. And there's lots of different problems that can cause a dog to have itchy skin. But far and away, allergies are certainly the most common. And when we talk about allergies, there's three different things that dogs and cats can be allergic to. And the most common thing is environmental allergies. And when I say environmental, it's things like pollens, grasses, different trees, flowers, plants, dust mites, mold, anything you and I can be allergic to, our pets can be allergic to. However, the symptoms are very, very different in cats and dogs than they are in humans. In humans, we kind of get dry eyes, itchy, scratchy throat, sneezing, sometimes runny nose. In animals, it's very different. They exhibit four symptoms when they have allergies. Itchy skin is one, itchy feet, a lot of paw licking, itchy ears and ear infections, and then also sometimes eye infections. So while environmental allergies are definitely the most common, the second most common is flea allergies. And then the least common would be food allergies.
And what exactly do you do when someone presents a case like this?
Sure. So we kind of go over an in-depth history of how long it's been going on, when did it happen. We perform a complete and thorough physical examination, which is really important because that can give me some clues as to what may or may not be causing it. What often happens with dogs that have itchy skin due to allergies is they commonly get a secondary infection. This can be a bacterial infection. This can sometimes be a fungal infection. And the reason they get this infection is because the skin cells become inflamed due to the allergies. And then this bacteria or yeast can come in and cause a secondary infection. So oftentimes when I see them, there's really two things going on. Number one, the primary problem of allergies. And then number two, we got a skin infection on top of it. And this can create a really vicious cycle. They start itching. So they scratch and lick and bite themselves. And this causes more inflammation and furthers the infection, which makes them want to itch, scratch, and bite even more. And it can really spiral out of control quickly. And oftentimes when I see them, they're, you know, have been suffering for a while.
Did you have anything additional you would like to tell me about skin allergies or anything dermatology related?
Yes. So one important thing to know is just like in humans, there is no cure for allergies. That being said, there are a lot of options out there to manage the allergies, help control the symptoms, help alleviate the pet's misery as far as scratching and ear infections go. And there's a lot of different things we can do, so it's really important to have them looked at, evaluated, and see what would be the appropriate treatment plan for them.
I see. Okay. And what about telling me a little bit, are you the only doctor at your office that treats the dermatology, or is it someone else that does that as well?
No, it's myself. It's Dr. Janet Beam and Dr. Brian Hader are also very experienced in treating these dermatology cases.
Well, then tell me, I know you do some innovative healing and pain management with something called the K laser therapy. Would you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. So K laser therapy is a class 4 therapeutic laser that is FDA approved to treat pain and other ailments in animals. It's an extremely powerful laser, and it works on a couple ways. Number one, it helps to reduce pain and inflammation. It also works on a cellular level to actually increase the speed of healing. It targets the mitochondria, which are, you know, inside an individual cell, and can accelerate that healing. And I've been using the laser for several years and have personally seen some amazing results with it. And there's also a lot of scientific research to, you know, back up kind of what we're seeing in practice. The most common thing we use it for is the treatment of dogs that have chronic arthritis. So arthritis of the knees, of the hips, of the elbow. Other things we use it for are back pain, but it also has a lot of other uses. We, after every surgical procedure we perform at All Creatures Care Cottage, we are using the laser on the incision site. That helps reduce pain, inflammation, and also helps accelerate the healing of those wounds. We are also using it on skin infections, abscesses, GI stasis, and also certain dental disease cases.
Okay, that makes sense. And so if I were to bring my pet to you and say, you know, she's a little slow to get up in the mornings, maybe I have to help her get up onto a couch or up into the car, then you would probably be checking for arthritis. Is that
yeah,
correct?
Arthritis is a very common disease of older pets, and the laser therapy is a great treatment modality to help with that. Another really good thing I like about the laser therapy is it is drug-free. There are not any side effects, and it's really well tolerated by these animals. Going a little bit more in depth is how it works is, you know, we're not able to cure the arthritis, unfortunately, but we can help manage their symptoms, manage their pain. And then normally when we start this therapy, we do group of 6 treatments. So we will do 3 treatments the first week, 2 treatments the second week, 1 treatment the third week. And after those 6 treatments, they are feeling much, much better. However, their pain will eventually return and come back. So we like to get these pets in once every 3 to 4 weeks on a long-term basis to implement the laser therapy.
Makes sense. That's interesting. Well, let me ask you this. What if I presented you a case with a dog maybe that was drinking a lot of water and seemed maybe a little bit lethargic? What would you look for?
So when I have an owner bring their pet in and tell me he's drinking a lot of water or peeing a lot, that always sets off a lot of alarm bells in my head. And that is a clue for us that there may be something wrong on a metabolic level. Common diseases that can cause a dog or cat to drink excessively are kidney disease, liver disease, some types of infection, including urinary tract infection, and also some neurologic disease. So oftentimes when I see a pet that is increased drinking, we perform a blood and urine panel, and that gives us a lot of valuable information to make a diagnosis and, more importantly, get closer to figuring out what's going on and how best to treat that pet.
I see. Okay. Well, I'm also curious to know what you what is the process for checking out an animal's teeth? Do you do any dental work at your office? What would you do if somebody brought a pet to you that needed some dental work?
That's a great question, Kristan. So we see a lot of pets with dental disease, and there's been a lot of studies out there, and most studies show that by age 3, 90% of dogs have some degree of dental disease, and 85% of cats have some degree of dental disease. So anytime I'm examining a pet, whether it's just for a wellness check or for, you know, another problem, I'm always doing a thorough oral exam, checking out their teeth, checking out their gums. And if a pet has a moderate amount of tartar, any type of gingivitis, bad breath, any loose teeth, we are recommending to have them come in for a anesthetic dental. And what that entails is we put the pet under anesthesia, and we do a full ultrasonic scale fluoride polish, wake them up, and they go home that day. There's always a risk with anesthesia. However, we take every step to minimize that risk, including a lab work the morning of on our in-house lab equipment. We are monitoring all their vitals, their heart rate, their respiratory rate, their oxygen saturation. We have them hooked up to digital monitors, monitoring their EKG, blood pressure, etc. I'm very proud to say that over several years of my career, I have never lost a pet under anesthesia, and I hope that trend continues.
Wow, that is awesome. I'm glad to hear that. I'm sure I would love to be able to bring my pet there if I could. But, you know, Texas to California is a little far.
I will also mention, Kristen, we do offer a procedure that does not involve anesthesia, and it's called a non-anesthetic dental. And this is where we have a highly trained technician under my supervision perform a teeth cleaning while the pet is awake without any sedation or drugs. And it's very similar to what happens when you and I go to the dentist. We bring the animal in. We use a technique where we swaddle them like a baby. So we wrap them up in a towel. And this can make them very calm and willing to have us go in their mouth and do a hand scale and polish. We can never get as deep as when they are under anesthesia. However, this is a very useful treatment for pets that have, say, mild dental tartar and can be done while they're awake, not, under anesthesia. And this is a very useful procedure that many animals do well on.
Makes sense. Well, I'm assuming that you, when they are in there and they do need, help with their teeth, that you are advising the client that, they need a proper diet or, how to proceed with, giving them the nutrition that they need so that they don't get teeth issues?
Yes, that's exactly correct. After we examine them, we can make the recommendation of either an anesthetic dental or a non-anesthetic dental. And we also counsel them how to prevent the tartar from coming back, teeth brushing methods, certain types of treats and chews that they can use to help prevent this buildup of the plaque and bacteria.
Makes sense. Okay. And would you like to discuss maybe what happens with the diagnostic part of your practice? Do you do blood testing for parasites and those kinds of things?
Yeah, that's another great question, Kristan. So diagnostics are a really big, important part of veterinary medicine. And we have a state-of-the-art, well-equipped in-house lab that we can perform blood tests on, we can perform urinalysis on. And we also send out some samples to a large reference lab for more in-depth testing and kind of specialty tests. We are also performing fecal parasite exams twice annually. Parasites are something I commonly see every day in practice. It's very common, something easily to diagnose and easily treatable. And parasites are one of those nasty things where, you know, they can be picked up by humans. Kids are particularly susceptible to picking them up because they're, you know, always getting in everything, putting their hands on everything, you know, and then putting them in their mouths. So, you know, that's something we really like to check twice annually to make sure that they are free of parasites. Another thing we like to test for on an annual basis is heartworm disease. Heartworm disease is a very nasty disease, and the worms grow to be up to 12 inches inside the heart muscle. And the way it's contracted is by mosquitoes. So a mosquito bites an infected dog or cat or wildlife like coyotes. And then if it bites your dog and they're not on heartworm prevention, they can potentially contract this deadly disease. So we like to test for it on an annual basis. And we also like to put our pets on a heartworm preventative to prevent that disease, because, you know, prevention is always going to be the best medicine. And if we can prevent it from getting in the first place, that's always going to be a better option than waiting until they get it to treat it.
Right, right. Makes sense. I would assume that these services that you're offering with testing and things like that, that would be something that your patients wouldn't even know. And I mean, the client wouldn't even know that they would need those types of things. They'd have to come in and you would have to tell them that, right?
Correct. Yeah. It's often, you know, not something you think about, and it's something that we're here to help educate and inform and make recommendations based on your pet's age and needs.
All right. I wanted to find out a little bit about what happens if my pet needs to be spayed or neutered. What is the process?
Sure. So first step is to bring your pet in to perform an exam and make sure they're healthy and there's no other problems going on. Once we determine that everything else is good, we book them in for the procedure, neuter and spay, and they come in the morning, they have a blood test done, they have a treatment plan made up for them based on their weight, their breed, their age, procedures performed in the hospital that day. Once they're recovered and awake, they usually go home that afternoon. So, you know, it's considered an outpatient procedure. It's very routine. We do them Monday through Friday, and it's something we recommend for all our pets.
Wonderful. Well, I really appreciate your time today. I would like to say, if anybody is looking for a place to take their pet that treats them with care and compassion, I think you should take your pet to see Dr. Spongberg at All Creatures Care Cottage. And you can check out their website at allcreaturescarecottage.com. And thanks again for listening to another episode of Doctor and Me podcast show. Thank you, Dr. Spongberg.
Thank you.